I mean, listen, we're talking about practice.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
This is KETR's Locker Room, your sports podcast for Northeast Texas. Each week, we look at the biggest headlines in sports and highlight local sports stories. Here's your hosts.
All right, welcome to the Wednesday, October 30th edition of KETR's Locker Room. Cooper Welch, Jordan Davis, and Taylor Phelps in the studio with you. And for a look at the lines today, we have the athletic director for the A&M Commerce Lions, Ryan Ivey. We're going to talk quite a lot about the Lions and then finish off Ryan's section of the show with some postseason baseball. He's a Cardinals fan. Jordan is a Red Sox fan, so we're going to let him duke it out a little bit see what happens. But first, Ryan, just tell us what exactly winning has done for your job. Has it made it easier or harder, winning as much as we have?
Oh, man. First of all, it's job security. And that's first and foremost, I think.
Right.
You know, I think winning, you know, with everything, winning brings with a lot of responsibility. And I think now that we're starting to win, especially from a football standpoint, and even some of our other sports with what they're doing in volleyball and soccer and even cross country at this point, you know, with what we're doing, we've got to start to plan to build on this momentum. And so I don't know if it makes my job any tougher, but it makes it a lot more, you know, in the now. You know, we got to start doing things now. We got to start planning. How do we capture the momentum from a fundraising standpoint? How do we capture the momentum from a corporate sponsor standpoint? How do we capture it from a season ticket standpoint, right, a ticket base? What do we do to enhance our game day event and atmosphere from this point forward and going into next year? What ideas can we do and bring to the table? You know, some of the things that we're doing at from a tailgate standpoint, how can we improve that? How can we improve, you know, our game day promotions? How do we get more people involved in Lion Athletics? And two, how do we carry this momentum from the fall into the spring?
Yeah.
With basketball, you know, both men's and women's basketballs, with our golf teams, with our track teams. You know, we'll be participating in indoor track this year for the first time. And so how do we, you know, just take this momentum, things that we have going on, and pull that into the spring semester,
right,
to have a year long where we're really, you know, firing on all cylinders. And those are the questions that you always have to ask yourself at this point in time, especially when you have a winning season and when you're able to move forward at the pace we've been able to move forward at. So I don't know if it makes it harder or easier, but those are questions that we certainly have to ask ourselves.
You know, we have had a lot of success, and, you know, I think a lot more across the board than we've had, especially with football, you know, emerging as really what's become almost a powerhouse.
Well, I don't know about a powerhouse.
Not a powerhouse.
First year of a powerhouse, maybe.
For us, a powerhouse
maybe
for our past
teams. Maybe the first brick of the house. How about that?
Yeah, yeah, we're building. The house is being built.
Foundation.
Like, what just challenges does it take as an athletic director? Because you're not at practice every day.
Correct.
You know, you're not in control of really the teams. Right. You control things that go on in the athletic department. But, you know, what challenges do you face on a winning perspective? Like, how do I, you know, help these teams win?
Yeah, I think it goes back to, I think the points that we talked about just a second ago is, all right, how do we, from an administration standpoint, how do we capture the momentum and how do we let people know what's going on? How do we increase our exposure? How do we increase our awareness? How do we get more people involved? Because there's no question about it that winning is the greatest marketing tool there ever was.
Definitely.
I'm a marketer. I certainly have an external mindset about me, and I know that. I've been through it with teams where we've had ups and downs and ebbs and flows of seasons, and there's no question. You go back and if you look at any program that I've been a part of, when we were having success on the field or the court or whatever it may be, you know, the revenues are there, revenues are higher, the attendance is higher, and those things, because people want to be associated with the winner.
Yes.
And I think when you're dealing with regional institutions like A&M Commerce, winning becomes that much more important, because people aren't going to take the time to spend all day at an A&M Commerce event if we're losing versus a Texas versus an A&M.
Exactly.
Because of the just the tradition that there is, because of the, you know, the history, because of the atmosphere that exudes at one of those larger institutions. And so we have to take what we get right now and we have to capitalize on it. We can't wait, and we can't miss a moment to capitalize on the things that happen. Did I have all the faith in the world in Coach Carthel and his coaching staff when they first came in? You better believe it. Did I think they were going to turn around this quick? Absolutely not.
So they've exceeded expectations.
Absolutely not. If I would have sat here and told you in August when we did our first show that, you know, guys, come Halloween, we're going to be talking about a 6-2 receiving a vote in the top 25 poll.
Yeah.
Now we're sitting ninth in the regional poll, and we have a chance to make the playoffs. Every one of you would have looked at me like I had three heads.
Yeah.
Gone crazy.
Probably would have asked you to get out of here.
Can you go get yourself checked into a mental place? You know, and so that's the situation. Again, it's something that we think about. It's something that we obviously talk about. But when it happens, you have to be ready to capitalize on it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's our biggest challenge right now from an administration standpoint is, how do we capitalize on it? How do we capitalize on it, again, like I said, from a fundraising standpoint, from a corporate sponsor standpoint, from a ticket sales standpoint? How do we move this momentum? How do we get our fans that have been coming to football and the larger crowds that we have, how do we get them to transition into basketball?
Transition them over. Exactly. Okay,
so that we can continue the attendance and the upswing that we have right now. Yeah. Those are the biggest challenges that we certainly face.
Right.
Well, Mr. Ivy, you came into a situation where clearly the athletics program was under very much scrutiny.
Sure.
1-9 seasons, back-to-back. The only program it seemed to be really – well, only two programs it seemed to be really winning was the volleyball and the basketball team. Can you explain – when you came into Commerce, how did you get everybody on the same page to believe in, okay, we can turn this around? Because I know it had to be hard, because some people I know had to be just like on the point of almost on the brisk of giving up.
Yeah, I think the first thing we did was just change the culture and the mindset of what was in the athletic department, that, you know, that mediocrity is not okay. Mediocrity is not acceptable. And Taylor will tell you in the first, you know, team meeting or student athlete meeting that we had at the beginning of the year, I told every one of those student athletes there's a lot of things I expected at them, but I expected them to win. Mm-hmm. I didn't come here to lose. Mm-hmm. And that tone was set from the top. I told our coaches and our coaching staff and our administrative staff, I did not come here to be a part of losing seasons. I hate to lose. Like, I hate to lose probably worse than anybody in our department. So the tone was set from the top that, you know, we are going to do the things that we have to do to make us successful. Mm-hmm. And I think they saw that. I think they knew that. I think they knew that in the short period of time that we've been here, that we've worked to change some policies and procedures, you know, things that aren't sexy to talk about, but, you know, things that make it necessary to give the coaches success. Because in the day, as you know, as Taylor said, I can't go play for them. I can't make a tackle. Mm-hmm. I can't shoot a three-pointer for them. I can't score a goal. But I can do the things on the back end necessary to set them up for success. And we talk a lot about that within our department is, are we structured for success? You know, when success happens, and I've told them, it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. When it happens, are we prepared to handle it? And it goes back to the situation that we're in now is planning for the future now based upon what we're doing from a football standpoint. And I think that tone was set very, very early. I think they believed in that vision and that in that statement, and that we have to be structured for success, and we're certainly getting there. Do I think we're there yet? No, absolutely not. We still have a lot of work to do, but we're getting there. And I think the more that we improve, you know, the more that we're able to increase our revenues, the more that we're able to do things, the more that we're able to increase our facilities and enhance our facilities and some of the things that we have to do there, I think we certainly can get there. And there is no doubt. I mean, I've told every one of our coaches, you know, I expect every one of our student athletes from this point forward to leave with a championship ring on one hand and a diploma in the other. You know, I expect every class. Mm-hmm. You know, every student athlete, when they're here for a 4-year period of time, to win at least one championship. Okay. Bottom line, that's what I expect out of you, and I expect us to finish no less in every sport than fourth in the league every year, and we got to finish fourth or higher each year, and those are the expectations, the goals, and things that I put out there for them. And just like an athlete, coaches will rise to the occasion, but if you don't set the goals out there, if they're not there, if they're not measurable, and they're not attainable, then they're just kind of like a bird flying
every day.
Yeah, it's just like a bird flying in the wind. And you got to have a destination to what you're going, and that's certainly what we did, was put it out there. So
right. Well, you've talked about what it looks like to get there, but everyone talks about what it looks like to get there. When you get there, what's your next step? What's the next goal? What's the next thing you're going to do when you get to that promised land,
sure,
winning the championship?
I don't know that we ever get there. It's, you know, okay, athletics is one of those things where you're always constantly striving to be better, because, I mean, you know, my mindset is there's always somebody out there that's better. Mm-hmm. And that's the way I approach it as an athlete, and that's the way I approach it as administrators. There's always somebody out there better, and, you know, somebody's gunning for you. And I think when you get to the mountaintop, it's much harder to stay on top of the mountain than it is to get the mountain.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yes. I think without most people will certainly agree with that. So I think when we get to the mountaintop, and we're going to get there, I have no doubt, is when we get there, what can we do? How do we, again, how can we structure ourselves for success? Mm-hmm. And how do we look at it from a recruiting standpoint? Again, how do we capitalize it on it from a recruiting standpoint? You know, we have to stay true to your value. You have to stay true to your values and what got you there.
Right.
I always hate it. You know, when you're watching a football game, you know, NFL game, whatever, and a team's up in the last few minutes and they go to that prevent defense. I hate the prevent defense, because all it does is prevent you from winning. You know, because you
Cowboys.
you sit back and you drop people back and you get people going. And you don't continue what you've done to get you to that point. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have to guard against when we get to that mountaintop, is continually striving to get to the point and stay where we are by doing the things that we've done from the beginning. Believing in the foundation that was built, believing in the things that were laid down in front of us, and continuing that and just adding to it. Again, mm-hmm. brick at a time, brick by brick, and going step by step to get that done. So,
and you know, it's kind of interesting that you mentioned that, because everybody thinks when you're at the top, you're at the top. You know, and but once you take that step back, is when someone else is going to come and take where you were at. So, and then it's hard to get back. Absolutely. So, yeah, athletics is always that. You're always building. Every year, it's a new team.
That's right.
No matter the guys returning, and you got to keep working.
I've told several people this since we've kind of gotten to this point with football, and a lot of people, you know, a lot of congratulations, and rightly so. I mean, this was a lot of work, and to get to this point. And as I tell people, in athletics and in sports in general, the outhouse isn't far from the penthouse, and we have to realize that, and we have to have that mindset that just because we're winning doesn't mean that we can't fall back to where we were. And we have to guard against, again, we have to guard against mediocrity. And we have to always be striving for success, and certainly to get to the mountaintop and stay on top of it.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit more specifically about football. Probably one of the biggest wins in the program's history against Tarleton State.
Absolutely.
On Saturday. Let's just talk a little bit about what went into that win.
Yeah, I mean, that was one heck of a football game. It was a hard-fought football game on both sides. I thought Harrison Stewart had a heck of a game. Mm. I thought he commanded the ball well. I thought he managed his time well. I thought he managed the offense well, other than the one pick that he threw, which I didn't think was a bad pick. It was a deep ball, and he just kind of underthrew it a little bit. I thought he certainly played well. I thought Vernon Johnson, I mean, the
Seems
guy.
Like we say he, that every week.
You know, I was talking to him after the game, and he's happy that we won and excited, but he's a little bit upset with himself. I said, man, what's wrong? And he said, I didn't play good. I look back on the stats. He has 7 catches for 154 yards and 2 touchdowns. I'm saying, if you didn't play well, then Lord help the team where you do play well.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where, my goodness, you know, and then, you know, we ran the ball better than I thought we had the last previous games. Our defense stepped up when it needed to. I thought our special teams is the best kicking game that we've had
easily
in a long time. Even the doink job off the, you know, for the field goal that hit the upright and then bounced off the crossbar. And, you know, those are the things that a lesser team would take that as, well, it's just not our day. You know, because those are just the unlucky things that happen to you.
Yes.
That, you know, that really can discourage you throughout the game. But, I mean, I give our guys a lot of credit and give our coaching staff a lot of credit. They didn't let it discourage them. I mean, they kept fighting and kept pounding and kept doing the things necessary to keep them in the game. And, I mean, even when we have a little, you know, wide snap, you know, an extra point to go up one and Marcus takes it and improvises it and you know, makes the two-point conversion. I mean, those are the things that really, when you have a winning season, when you have a special season, you know, kind of like we're having, sometimes you have to have a little luck. And we got a little luck on Saturday, you know.
Yeah.
And we got some unlucky breaks, and we got some lucky breaks too. So we'll take it out however we can get it. And it's the first time that we've ever had the Chenault Cup and the President's Cup in the same, you know,
forever.
on campus.
So we need a bigger trophy.
That's right.
We need a new cup. That other cup is
the Chenault
ugly.
Cup.
That's ugly.
Yeah. Well, we got to get that replaced.
Yeah, even I was talking to Coach Carthel, and he was like, "That's ugly. We need to get rid of that.
Yeah.
We need to redo that." Yeah. But Mr. Ivory, can you tell me that? You know, now you walk around school, the atmosphere is like totally 100% different than it was last year. You have people that come to the home games and cheer their behinds off, yelling.
Right.
They stay the entire game and give our team standing ovations when they leave.
Right.
Can you tell the listeners out there, because there's talks of playoffs. Like, there's actually talks of playoffs. You were told us a year ago Lions was going to make the playoffs. Everybody would have laughed. Everybody would have been like, it took a miracle. Right. But the miracle has came.
Right.
So what has to happen for the Lions to make the playoffs?
Well, right now we're sitting, you know, we're sitting ninth in the regional rankings, top six in the region go. I think first thing we have to do is take care of business ourselves and continue to win. You know, I don't think we can lose another game and make the playoffs. I think we have to be at 9-2. And I'll be honest with you, even at 9-2, I don't know if we get in. I think there are some teams in front of us that have to kind of falter. I know that there's a couple, and I couldn't even tell you who they are right now, but I know that they kind of play themselves, so we're hoping that maybe they kind of knock themselves out around a little bit. But, you know, our schedule, I think losing to West Texas and losing to Midwestern, the Tarleton win was a huge win for us from a regional ranking standpoint, a regional vote standpoint. You know, beating Delta was good for us. You know, those are both top 25 teams at the time, but they were, you know, 25 and 23 respectively when we beat them. It wasn't like we beat a top four team in West Texas, or we beat a, you know, top 15 in Midwestern. So, you know, I'm hopeful. But I just don't know. I think the thing is that we have to take care of business first, and it's just one of those things where you're not really going to know until all the dust settles at the very end of the season. But I think, again, I think the fact that we're talking about this before November even hits it is a huge feather in the cap to Coach Carthel and his staff and those football players and the things that they've been able to do on the field. So I think even if the playoffs don't happen, I think there's a chance for some postseason opportunities with some bowl games that we have some tie into. And hopefully we can get one of those.
What kind of bowl games? I think everybody sees the BCS.
Yeah.
That's what they imagine is all the way through college football, and it's not.
No, it's not. No.
What exactly is the difference in the Division II kind of postseason games?
Yeah, I think, and it's different, you know, even from where I came from with FCS, because if you don't make the playoffs in FCS, then you just don't have postseason. Whereas Division II, I didn't realize it until I kind of got into it. They have some of these outside bowl games for these teams that don't make the playoffs. So we have a tie-in with the Heart of Texas Bowl, and that's something that this will be their first year. We used to have a tie-in, the league did, to the Kansas Bowl up in Topeka, but that bowl has since folded. And then Texarkana has just started one with the Live United Texarkana Bowl.
Sure is. It's my hometown.
There you go. And while we don't have a direct tie-in to it, we're one of two leagues that will get an opportunity to place a team in there. So I think there's that option. I would venture to say again that Lone Star is going to get two teams in the playoffs. So if we're sitting three or four, you know, in the league standings, then I think we have a very, very good chance of making a bowl game.
All right. So, well, let's talk about the Lone Star Conference in general.
Sure.
We've seen a lot of ups and downs for a lot of different teams. Eastern New Mexico is doing better than they have in a long time. Kingsville's a lot worse than they've been in a long time. And then McMurray's going to be joining us next year.
Right.
So just – what's the Lone Star Conference looking like in the coming years?
Yeah, I think, I think you give a lot of credit to Coach Land and his staff over at Eastern New Mexico, who's really turned things around. And Coach Garthel told me before the season, you know, that team's going to be better. And he really believed in that. McMurray is going to score a ton of points.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, my goodness.
That was ridiculous. Both games. Then they play West Texas.
Yeah, then they played West Texas.
Yeah,
West
they scored Texas. 50 against them.
Yeah, they scored 58 and lost 90-58. But, you know, I mean, it's a basketball score.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it really is.
And so, you know, I think McMurray is going to give everybody some fits, you know, here in the coming years. You know, I think Kingsville is down, but Kingsville, you know, historically is really, really good, and I don't expect them to be down long. I think like everything else, you know, with college football, it's, you know, you just get these ebbs and flows of teams are going to be good. And, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, you look at it, and it's, this is about as simplistic, as I guess, as you can get it is, you know, two teams are going to line up. One's going to win. One's going to lose.
Yeah.
You know, and it is, you know, and at the end of the day, not every team can win every game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it's, you know, not every team can lose every game. So it's one of those things where it just, you know, playing athletics, which you guys know, and being involved in team sports, there's just a lot of things that have to go right to win a bunch of games in a bunch of years, you know, in a row. I mean, if you look at Alabama, for crying out loud, I mean,
their fans are getting tired of them winning.
I mean, it just gets to the point where, you know, when they lose, it's going to be
the biggest story.
Yeah, I mean, it is, and it's. And again, we talked about earlier, being able to stay on the mountaintop, and that's the culture that Coach Saban and them they have created over there, is being able to stay on the mountaintop and being able to live with that bullseye on your back. And same thing what they did at West Texas. You know, they've kind of lived with that bullseye on their back for the last few years, and you know, we're hoping just to be able to get that bullseye.
But even like you said, like in Alabama, you look historically, there's plenty of downs that just years in a row.
I mean, if you look at the Mike Shula years, I mean, when Alabama
6-6,
jeez,
Saban's
first year, they go 6-6.
They lost to Alabama
and got beat by Louisiana Monroe.
They lost to Utah in a bowl game.
You know, I mean, so it's. You know, it's certainly not easy, and I wish it was. I think when everybody thinks about it, and you know, it's not easy. I mean, Taylor, you know, playing. I mean, it's not easy,
especially in a conference like the Lone Star.
It's just not easy, and you know, you go in, you fight hard, and you do the best you can. But you know, sometimes the ball just doesn't bounce your way, and you know, that's why I've tried to tell everybody, and I think our coaches know that, you try not to get too high and try not to get too low at the same time.
Exactly.
You know, just, you've got to know that, again, I say that, you know, kind of jokingly, but it's really the truth. The outhouse isn't far from the penthouse in college athletics, and you've got to just stay on that even keel and make sure that the things that you're doing are what got you to that point, and stay true to your values and your fundamentals and the things that got you to that point. So.
You know, the conference has also been shrinking.
It has recently.
Is there any? I'm sure there's talk of additions, but is there any real interest from other universities? And?
I think there is. I don't. You know, we've got a group of presidents that are kind of going through that expansion effort right now. Dr. Jones is actually the chair of that of that committee, and you know, we looked at a couple of things. We looked at a merger with the Heartland that really didn't kind of work out, and I'm not sure that it would have worked out even if we were able to go through it. I mean, you're talking about, you know, making a 21 team league, and it's just
that would have been huge.
It's just a lot of issues.
Wow.
It doesn't help football from that standpoint, but you know, it just, for every other sport, it kind of got us to that point. So, I know there are some efforts there. I don't really know who we're targeting right now. I'm sure there's speculation out there that people are going to talk about them in UT Permian Basin, Texas A&M International, or just natural fits, just because we have a lot of, especially A&M International, because we got a lot of A&M system schools already.
Yeah.
You know, those are natural fits to what we're trying to do. It keeps it within the state as well.
When we look at teams, is it really important for them to have a football team?
I think it needs to be. Yeah, I would
agree.
It doesn't. They don't necessarily have to have it, but I think we really need to start looking at that standpoint because it's getting so hard with the Great American, you know, right next door to us. They're trying to get to 12 teams right now. They're at 11. They're trying to get to 12. Mm-hmm. With all football playing schools, and they'll just play each other. They'll play an 11-game league schedule is what they'll end up doing, probably more than anything. MIAA is doing the same thing. You know, so it gets to the point where it gets really hard to schedule non-conference football games. And, you know, we're having to go to you got to go to Chadron State, or you got to go to, you know, wherever in Michigan.
And you got travel expenses.
You got a bunch of things. You got to go to Upper Iowa, which we went to not a few years ago.
Let's not talk about
the Peacocks.
So those are the things that make it difficult, and you know it's going to be interesting. I think when you look at the NCAA and the landscape of the new governance structure and the new divisions and kind of how it all gets laid out here in January, I know there was a lot of talk. They had a meeting actually yesterday in Indianapolis. Regarding kind of the governance structure and how the NCAA needs to be laid down, the things that the issues that are going on with it now, and then the convention in January will be a big test to see, you know, kind of what all shakes out from all this. So it'll be interesting to see. I just don't know what's going to happen. I don't know that there'll be a Division II. You know, it's one of those things where, and I certainly don't. You know, I just think with the way that the money is with these larger schools and kind of the big five, you know, conferences as they are, you know, I think you're going to start to see those guys kind of come together. I think, and then everybody else, I think you're going to see them kind of come together, you know, and then you get to the point, all right, so now you've got Division III and Division II. Division III doesn't give out athletic grant and aids. All right, so kind of they're going to go over here for them to have their structure. So what do you do with Division II now? Because we give scholarships, but yet we don't give as much, and it's kind of one of those things. And, you know, I think you may just see some of them kind of push together from a geographic standpoint and just the governance structure kind of figuring out what to do with everybody. I think there are obviously some issues within the NCAA right now. But I think there are a lot of capable people of figuring this out. Probably a lot more people smarter than I am to figure this out.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see how it all kinds of shakes out.
All right. Well, we only have a little bit more time with you today, but let's talk about the World Series.
Sure.
Your Cardinals are back in it. They really hurt a bunch of Rangers fans around here a few years ago.
That's okay.
Yeah. So what do you think their chances are?
Oh, I don't like their chances very much right now. Okay. I said going into it that if they didn't have three wins going back to Boston, that I don't think they can win two in Fenway. Just like I didn't think the Rangers could win two at Busch Stadium.
Yeah. You know, and then lose two.
Right. Yeah. Rangers and Stadium. You know, when they came in there, and so, you know, I think the Cardinals have certainly had their opportunities, and they've kind of shot themselves in the foot a little bit. We were talking about a little bit off air, and you know, this World Series has been crazy, kind of the way the games have ended. I mean, you got the interference call and a guy, you know, being picked off with the Cardinals. And so, you know, it's kind of given, again, those ebbs and flows of you've seen it. I mean, one game you know, it's Boston being in control, then the next game is St. Louis, and then Boston screw something up, and then St. Louis screws something up.
Well, we screw something up. Boston screws up. That's one of the teams that when they ever screw up, oh, God. It's like the Heat. When they screw up, it's bad.
Yeah.
Like, it is really, really bad. But it's been a good World Series. It's been, like, an entertaining World
Series.
It
has been. Very entertaining.
Like, a lot of it has been really high on ratings. And I'm glad for the sport of baseball.
Absolutely.
It's been wonderful.
Do you think Commerce could ever get a baseball team?
I think so, absolutely. I think it's something on the horizon that we certainly would like to see happen. I'd like to see it happen sooner rather than later, obviously, but there are some issues that we still have to work out from a Title IX standpoint and kind of going through that, playing that out. But, yeah, I think that's – I mean, it's certainly been talked about already. It's certainly something that I've brought up since I've been here. Dr. Jones and I have had some conversations about it. And, you know, I think it's certainly that's something that's needed. I think this is certainly a baseball area.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I think people enjoy baseball. And I think the excitement that we've gotten from softball at this point kind of exudes that same point that baseball is going to be able to be successful here. I think the thing about baseball, again, is I'm glad to see that the World Series is doing as well as it's doing from a rating standpoint is people from a younger generation, we're going to have to figure out how to get the younger generation involved in baseball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not the days where, you know, I can remember, again, as a kid driving 3 hours north and going to Busch Stadium and going with my dad and, you know, getting a scorecard and keeping score, you know, and doing those things and, mm-hmm. you know, enjoying it and, you know, taking, you know, 4 or 5 trips a summer and going up there and, you know, watching the Cardinals play and then going to Six Flags or something like that. And, I mean, today's generation, you're not seeing anybody with the score pad out there anymore uh-uh. keeping score and no. learning how to do it.
They got iPhones and stuff.
Yeah, and so we're going to have to figure out, and I say we, and it's really Major League Baseball, but, you know, baseball lovers in general are going to have to figure out a way to get the younger generation involved and, mm-hmm. and because they're so instantaneous in their information and, you know, I think social media is going to be a big part in it and how do you get social media interacted within the games? You know, how do you get those younger kids involved? You know, maybe there is something where, you know, they can keep score, you know, through social media and some of those things. But I think that's going to be the biggest play, because if baseball doesn't capitalize on that and do something with it, then their fan base is going to, I mean, eventually it's going to die off. I mean, because yeah. you've got the older people, and really probably my generation, and I say older, but my generation would probably be that last generation of people that understand what baseball really is and that, you know, understands the games that are played, you know, with it and the tactics that go around it and the purest form of what baseball is. It's really a stat game. It is,
and
absolutely.
And basketball and football are not that way, right, but if you can appreciate, like you talk absolutely. About, those stats,
yeah.
then, you know, well, that changes everything, right. I
well,
think.
Well, nowadays you have athletes like LeBron James and the teams like the Dallas Cowboys that's going to take your mind off baseball because it's so much soap opera with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you also see, you notice the people in baseball that get the attention are the Yasiel Puigs, the right. people that come in and, you know, make a splash like people will in basketball and football. You don't see as much the big stat guys that right. every week I'm, you know, they're batting
big
a certain percentage.
11 to 15
yeah, exactly.
in the World
stuff
yeah.
like that people aren't appreciative of.
Well, I think when you don't have that, you know, that instant celebrity status, and it takes, you know, a lot longer from a baseball standpoint,
because
if you think about it from baseball, if somebody hits 300, they go 3 for 10. It's a Hall of Fame. This is a Hall of yeah. Fame, you know, batting average.
Yeah.
They've failed 7 times.
Yes.
Okay.
They fail.
I mean, if you think about it, you fail
succeed.
More often than you do in baseball. And today's generation of kids just don't get that.
They don't get,
what do you mean I'm going to strike out 7 yeah. times and I'm just going to be good? No, there's no way.
Hit every time.
Yeah,
you're the best player in the world.
You know, in the world of today where everybody gets a trophy and everybody's a winner, the baseball doesn't lend itself to that mindset.
It really doesn't.
And,
if you lose in baseball, you lose.
Yeah, and so it's, you know, the length of the games, you know, is something that is not good for younger kids. And the amount of games that they play.
And wow. what do you mean they lost 60 games? Right. They lost 60 games. They're not good.
Like, right. Yeah.
You look at the NBA, yeah. oh, they lost 20, 30.
I mean, if you look at the fact that the Rangers and the Rays could play 162 games and still not decide
who is the best,
who gets into the playoffs and have to play one more game.
That's frustrating.
It is. It's very yeah. frustrating. And it's something that the younger generation of our, you know,
and it makes it seem like those games aren't important.
Right.
It's like, you know, why do I need to watch game 2 of 160?
Right, absolutely.
When that's not going to matter at the end. In the end, they're just going to be tied. So,
and then they might not get a run. It's some games where it's like 1-0, and the one run don't come to the 12th yeah. inning. So you'd be like, oh my God, can either one of y'all just score a run? Yeah. It takes so long for some team to score.
Could that's you see true. Baseball shortening there? Total games?
I don't know, man.
It just seems
just
so like
know.
That's
it's
not even
so
that.
Baseball, you know. It's just
exactly.
You know, it's one of those things, and I hate it. And you know, I've you know, you kind of hear it wherever you go. Is, well, this is just the way that we do things. That's just it's just baseball. That's just the way that baseball
it's
does
like a fraternity.
It.
I mean, baseball's
yeah,
like
yeah.
its just, own individual you know, culture.
Yeah, listen, you know, they're you know, you hear people. This is baseball. This is how we do it. Well. All right, I get it, but let's think of better ways to get involved
yeah.
and get more people involved. Because
stay
again,
on that mountaintop.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, again, I'm afraid that if baseball doesn't do something, then
it's going to be lost.
You're not going to have what you have right now.
Right, you're not.
Yeah.
Absolutely
you're not.
No, you're not. And you know, I try to get my boys to sit down and watch the World Series, and no way. No way. You know, sit down and watch an inning or two, and it's just, again, it's just the pace of the game, whereas a basketball game is up and down, or a volleyball game. And Lord, I mean, my boys love volleyball just because it's, I mean, it's just so quick.
It's always
and
going.
Up and
yes.
down and going and going. And that's the way that our generation of children are kind of coming up, is so instantaneous, and they need to have that instant gratification of,
yeah,
I didn't even see what's going on. I am not going to sit in a baseball stadium and watch a guy throw to first four different times to keep the guy close.
You know,
and watch this game of chicken between the pitcher and the runner and the first baseman and the catcher and the batter, and knowing that there's, you know, there's a certain situation, this is going to be a hit and run, or they're going to bunt here. And what do you mean I'm going to bunt to sacrifice myself to get somebody else over in the scoring position?
I'm
going to
sacrifice myself.
There's no way. I'm going to swing and hit because I'm going to try to hit a home run. You know, that's the way that they view it. And so we certainly have to do something to get them involved. And I don't know what that is. If I can figure it out, I'll be a rich man. But
yes.
But
I don't think Bud Seeley could figure it out. He's about to retire. So.
Yeah.
I don't think he knows how to fix baseball. It's just, baseball is that one sport you just don't touch. It's been around so long.
It has been.
The rules are set. Like, mm-hmm. They haven't changed in forever. So it's hard for one person to be like, we need to change baseball.
Yeah.
Because I agree. It's, the games are just too long to watch. Some Ranger games, I was like, how do people do this? I'm just sitting there. How do people just cheer?
And you get on your phone and you get distracted. And yeah, I mean,
you can follow
is.
The
I mean,
games
yeah,
easily absolutely. On your phone. You can go, okay, it's 8th inning, 2-2. Yeah. I'll turn it on now absolutely. And watch. But yeah, absolutely. To watch the whole game is almost like, you
know. And I think too, I mean, again, I know we've gotten way off topic here from the World Series, but I think too, if you look at it, I think the steroid situation has really hurt baseball from a younger generation standpoint, because parents are not letting them, you know, have baseball heroes anymore.
Yeah.
Because they're all the time letting kids down. And I mean, I can remember growing up and wanting to be Ozzie Smith, you know, watching him run out and do those flips. And, you know, and then you see a guy like Vince Coleman or Terry Pendleton and some of those guys that I grew up watching, you know, from a St. Louis standpoint, that's who I wanted to be. And whether they were doing steroids or not, but just the era in which we live with, you know, it wasn't reported as much.
They could
much
still
then.
Be a hero.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's just not that way anymore.
Because we got A-Rod and other people that just lie.
There's more scandals than there are, you know, heartwarming
just
stories in baseball.
Yeah.
It's just lies.
All right. Well,
go Cardinals.
Go Cardinals.
Go Red Sox. All right.
Well, I think that's about going to do it for us today. We went a little bit past our break time, so I think we're just going to wrap it up. I'm Cooper Welch.
I'm Jordan Davis.
And I'm Taylor Phelps.
Thank you so much to Ryan Ivey for coming in.
Thank you,
and this is KTR's Locker Room.